And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour. It sounded good when I first said, "Here, what's coming up this hour," but then I noticed a little twinge in my voice here, so I want to do that again. Is that okay, Tugboat? I feel like we could do that better. What do you think? You want to try that again? Let's do that again. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, In the Beginning. In the Beginning. Plus, we're going to look at Turn It On. I don't know what that means. Also, the professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider, he's going to join us live. And today's Facebook post, It Can't Even Compare.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. It probably won't kill you if you call. I don't think it will. We don't have that shock system still built in, do we? I don't think so.
Not anymore. We got rid of it.
Okay, good. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. Here on AM 1210, K-PRAISE, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but lucky you, here comes SRN News.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-PRAISE, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is denouncing a chemical attack against civilians in Syria.
In a written statement, the president said the chemical attack against innocent people, including women and children, is reprehensible and cannot be ignored by the civilized world. He said the U.S. stands with its allies to condemn the intolerable attack. The president singled out the Assad regime as responsible, but he also said the episode is a consequence of the Obama administration's weakness and irresolution to deal with Syria's past use of chemical weapons. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Former Obama administration official Susan Rice is denying to MSNBC that she used intelligence reports to spy on Trump associates for political purposes. Rice said her senior White House role did give her the ability to request the names of Americans swept through U.S. spycraft, but she would not say whether she saw intelligence on President Trump's associates or whether she asked for their identities, saying that information would be classified. Senate Intelligence Committee member Arkansas Republican Tom Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network the process of unmasking anonymous individuals is extremely rare and potentially dangerous.
Our intelligence surveillance activities are obviously very controversial. They've been more so over the last 4 years since the Edward Snowden disclosures. The last thing we need are political operatives in the White House fooling around with intelligence to make it harder to pass the laws we need to keep America safe.
Debate is underway in the Senate over the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. Democrats have the votes to filibuster Gorsuch. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a partisan minority of the Senate is threatening to block an eminently qualified nominee.
Americans will be watching. History will be watching. And the future of the Senate will hang on their choice.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 39 points, the NASDAQ rose 4, the S&P advanced 1. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Vice President Mike Pence has revealed he never dines alone with a woman not his wife, nor does he attend events where alcohol is served without Karen at his side. The left has gone nuts about this. Some claim such a policy keeps women from career advancement. Others say it's just plain silly in the 21st century with so many women in high positions in government and business. Funny how lefties had no problem with Bill Clinton doing more than dining with women, not Hillary. They excused his numerous affairs as just sex that had nothing to do with his ability to govern. Besides, they said such things are between a husband and wife. So why is not this between a husband and wife? The answer is the Pences are countercultural and stand as a rebuke to the sexual revolution that has created many casualties over the past 50 years. What they practice is usually referred to as the Billy Graham rule. The evangelist never allowed himself to be alone with a woman, not his wife. Avoiding the appearance of evil is a good policy. It's worked for Graham and is working for the Pences. Perhaps others should try it. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. The entire hour, last hour, I forgot to tell you, if you want to reach me, the email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Probably a good idea that I let people know that. Our Facebook page, The David Spoon. And then, you know, KPRZ has its own, like, Facebook page. So if I'm telling you, go to The David Spoon Experience. I post most everything that I post on the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, so you can probably save yourself a little time. I'm not a hugely brilliant or highly intelligent social networking genius, but I can push a button. That's right.
What's your Twitter handle?
That's a CB, right? No? Okay. All right. Actually, the Twitter handle is David at Spoon Experience, just in case you ever really want to do something with that. I don't ever do anything with it. That's a separate reason why. Hey, I do want to mention to you our good friend Michael Warworth, who did a fantastic job the other day. I think he's going to be on the show Thursday, from what I can tell. Thursday. And what he has been working with us in is he is with Bible League International. And we have discussed at great length, and we are, you know, it's, you know, we're going to finish this week. It doesn't matter because I want to be able to come out and say, we did this many Bibles. I'm just waiting to do that. So we haven't reached that point yet, but I'm getting pretty close. I do want to let you know that every $5 they get, they take that $5. This is a triple A plus rated ministry. And I will tell you right now, if you ever talked to Michael Woolworth about it, this is a ministry that, you know how you go into different ministries and you'll go into their corporate office and they're really nice? These guys have like balsa wood. So it's not so nice. So the idea is to understand that they put all their money into the ministry. And getting Bibles in people's hands is one of the great effective tools. Now, they have different programs that enable people to learn those in Bible studies. They have their Philip, I think it's the Philip program, if I remember correctly. And they have all these different words. But the bottom line is, if you speak a language and there's no Bible in your language, it's hard to access the Word of God. Now, I'm a believer that people do need to go through discipleship and learning and training and teaching. But I am also a believer that the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all and can take the written Word of God and do wondrous things in people's lives. So we support Bible League International. It's Project Philip Ministry Program. That's what it's called. Thank you, Tugboat. And it's important to understand that every $5 we give to them, they're able to take a Bible and get it in people's hands in their languages. So while I support the discipleship element, I even more so support the Holy Spirit being able to take the Word of God, speak to somebody's heart, and make kingdom changes. Now, the people that want these Bibles are believers. But what's happening is they're taking these Bibles they're receiving from Bible League International, and they're becoming evangelistical and taking the Word to all these different places. And one Bible influences as many as 12 people. So a $10 gift for two Bibles can influence 24 people in the kingdom of God. I love it. Sorry. I just think that's fantastic. So if you want to do this by phone, you call them. You don't call us. You call them. 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES. Now, I'm pretty sure you can figure that out. 800-YES-WORD. You can also go to KPRZ.com if you're an internet dude or dudette and you like doing that. That's fine. It's very safe. No problems. We have the information on the website. Please participate, as the goal was stated 1,800 Bibles to be able to send out from San Diego, and I changed the goal to 2,000 because I'm obnoxious and I can. All right, let's get into our DDD. This one has got a unique sound that goes with it. This is entitled In the Beginning. In the beginning, doesn't it sound like that would have been the sound in the beginning? They were having an orchestra while that was going on. Seems like that'd be kind of close. All right, well, it's just a guess. Genesis chapter 1, I have been more blessed. I'm in a new translation, and I'm reviewing Genesis, and in the last, I'm reviewing Genesis, and I'm in Luke. So I'm in Genesis and Luke. And the weirdest or coolest thing is happening is each time I've been in Genesis, the entire 35, 40 minutes has been one chapter. I don't know what's going on here, but it's just been awesome. So I'm reading in Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, we're talking about Genesis, and there was something I noticed in Genesis chapter 1 that I hadn't quite caught before, which I thought I'd share with you, which I think is really cool, and that's this. Seven times in Genesis 1, God commanded. There are seven times in Genesis 1 where God commanded. God commanded, let there be light. God commanded, you know, let there be plants. I mean, whatever that was, there's seven different times. And seven times in the first chapter of Genesis, it says that God was pleased. So seven times God commanded, seven times he was pleased. Every time God commanded, there was response to his command, and he was pleased. So he commanded, the thing that he commanded was accomplished, and God was pleased. And everybody can understand that. Seven times he commanded, seven times the actions took place, and his words produced activity, and seven times God was pleased. Now watch this. When people respond to God today the same way, it's the same result. When God commands us and we respond, he is pleased. When God commands you, when God teaches you, when he makes you more Christ-like, and you respond, he is pleased. You see, for too many Christians, success is defined by some prosperity element. I don't care if you're a publicly traded company. I don't care if you've got Christian draped behind you. If money is your answer, you are not a success in the eyes and mind of God. You are a success in the eyes and mind of God if you are obedient and responsive to his commands. It's the world that defines success by power, fame, and money. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Then Samuel said, Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams." As defined by the word of God, obedience is the absolute priority in responding to God. As defined by the written word of God, that's an absolute priority in everything. Obedience is success. As defined by us being led by God, obedience is absolutely our success measure. It is not by the dollars. It is not by any of that, but by your yes, Lord, and the activity that responds thereafter. Do you want to please the Lord in that responsive way? We know faith is required for pleasing God. We know believing God is a part of engaging with God, but saying yes and doing what God wants you to do pleases God. So, as in the beginning, as he commands, let us also respond and take action that he may be pleased with that which we do. That's called in the beginning. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The Spirit of God renews our minds when we meditate on the Word of God.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by David McCaslin. Dawson Trotman, a dynamic Christian leader of the mid-20th century and founder of the Navigators, emphasized the importance of the Bible in the life of every Christian. Trotman ended each day with a practice he called His Word, the Last Word. Before going to sleep, he meditated on a memorized Bible verse or passage, then prayed about its place and influence in his life. He wanted the last words he thought about each day to be God's words. The psalmist David wrote, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." Whether we are in great difficulty or enjoying a time of peace, our last thought at night can ease our minds with the rest and comfort God gives. It may also set the tone for our first thought the next morning. A friend and his wife conclude each day by reading aloud a Bible passage and a daily devotional with their four children. They welcome questions and thoughts from each child and talk about what it means to follow Jesus at home and at school. They call it their version of His Word, the last word for each day. What better way to end our day? We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A lot of things going on, exciting things. We got a wonderful season coming up. We got our Pastor's Masters, which is coming around the corner. We also have our Pastor's Appreciation Lunch that's going to be taking place later in the year. And I don't know if I'm supposed to tell people this, so I'm not officially telling anybody that we're going to have a fantastic speaker at our Pastor's Appreciation Lunch. I'm not going to say that the guy is from Texas, maybe even from Dallas, and has a huge church there, and is all over the radio, and is a friend of President Trump, and also wrote an endorsement for my book. But it could be him. That's all I'm going to say. How many people? I don't know. It rhymes with Riss. Get it? His first name rhymes with meth. Only it starts with J. That's the best I can do. Is that good? You like that? It's different, right? Poor Tugboat Todd has to put up with this every day. Besides, he did want to do a live Facebook thing here, didn't you? You wanted to have a live Facebook
thing? Yeah, I think that'd be great to do Facebook Live, just one show, so people can see, you know, what goes on during the breaks and stuff.
I don't think they'd like it that I take the pencil and stick it in my body, ear, or when I wore that one thing and then, you know, stuck different things behind my head. I think the funniest thing we've ever done, though, in the studio, I will confess, is a long time ago, Marco Rubio was giving a speech. And when he was giving the response speech, remember, he stopped and drank the water. And they tried to make some big deal of it. So the very next day, because I just find things like that so tedious, that I actually got a bottle of water and had everybody watching. They actually filmed a little bit of this. And I swished the water in my mouth while I was doing the show and then gargled and then spit across the desk. Because I thought, come on. I mean, who cares? It matters that he took a sip of water. Woo! You know, that's really politically affecting things. Okay. All right, let's get to our next thing. This one's called Turn It On. What do we have for a sound, my good friend?
Have you tried turning it off and on again? Okay, well, the button on the side, is it glowing? Yeah, you need to turn it on. The button turns it on? You do know how a button works, don't you? No, not on clothes.
That's the IT thing, isn't it? I remember, I saw all that show. I remember all of that, especially when the guy jumped out the window.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. So here it is. Turn it on. So here it is. Ready? I mean, I want to make sure you get this. This is important. Prayer. Can I say this? It's not my line. I think it's been attributed to C.S. Lewis, but I do not believe he was the original person who said this. But I could be wrong. So for C.S. Lewis fans out there, don't get mad at me. I know he said this. I just don't know if he made this or created this line, but here's what the line is. Prayer is the heartbeat of Christianity. You think of Christianity in different terms. You think of the Word of God as being food, especially in the connection that Jesus made between the Word of God and bread alone kind of mentality. Well, prayer is considered by a lot of people to be the heartbeat of Christianity. What keeps everything flowing? What keeps the blood pumping? We know how important prayer was to Jesus because of the multiple times that he separated himself to spend time with the Father. So you can tell that part by his life and example, which, by the way, his example is tremendous. It's a tremendous example of how to walk the walk. It's not as important as his sacrifice, because without the sacrifice, there's no redemption, there's no fellowship, there's no relationship, and you can be as good as goody two shoes all you want, but if you're not redeemed, you're not going to heaven. So, but it's superbly important to look at the things that were taught to us, and then Jesus teaching a number of times on prayer. It's important for us to understanding that his house will be called a house of prayer, and that prayer has been taking place from the beginning of man on. Some people may define prayer as talking to God. Some people might say it as communing with God. Some people might even say it's listening to God and talking to God, or just being in God's presence. Whatever is going to work for you, that's fine. Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18 makes reference to us praying continually. That there is a capacity for Christians to continually pray. You know, rejoice always, you know, pray without ceasing. There's this mentality that we can do that. Now, we don't sit there and think, okay, I'm going to, you know, every time I talk to somebody at the checkout stand at Vaughn's, I'm going to sit there and be praying to the Lord. I don't think that's the direction it's trying to go. That's a little legalistic in its approach. But what we are aware of is that we have access to pray continually, and we should be a people of prayer. And if prayer is the heartbeat of Christianity, a heartbeat's a pretty important process for our living, here is something to consider. Because Jesus, through his blood, gave us access to the very throne of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we should take advantage of that. Now, we get that passage out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, which talks about the reality that Jesus made a new and living way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain, into the very presence of God through his blood. So the blood doesn't dry up. You have the advantage to have the access whenever you need it. So with that in mind, we should stay as close to God as we can, continually praying. I do a lot of praying underneath my breath. I know people, no, you have to speak the words. No, you don't. There's five examples in the Old and New Testament that don't indicate it. I can say to the Lord in my heart, you know, so on and so forth. If I have a cold and can't speak and have laryngitis, are you telling me I can't pray? I'm just curious. So if I have laryngitis, I can't pray? See, that's the kind of goofy thinking that the church needs to kind of get away from, okay? So we want to stay as close to God as we can and continually. And there's a couple reasons why. There's nothing more relevant that, you know, because in his presence is the fullness of joy, and that joy is a great strength for us. Isn't the joy of the Lord a great strength for us? Every once in a while, the Lord kind of gives you a wave, and you're like, woo, I'm so happy I'm saved. Because the guilt dissipates, there's a hope, there's an anticipation, it kind of keeps you going. One of the keys in processing or turning on prayer is understanding that the key is to stay mindful of God, and that helps us stay prayerful to God. I know it's terrible to think, but what you put in your mind has a lot to do with what you do, what you think, how you become. So if you sit there and watch murder mystery after murder mystery after murder mystery after murder mystery, you can have a little bit of darkness in there. It's a reality check.
I think it's the same with music also.
I think that's correct. You know, Proverbs talks of 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is this mentality that what you process does matter to how you function. And a prayerfulness is really much easier to do if we're mindful of God. It's more mindful just to say, oh, Lord, what do you think of that? I talk to the Lord like he's right next to me, because in the universal presence, he's right next to me. And sometimes there's a manifested presence, but the universal presence, absolute. God is next to me. I can talk to him that way. I think his ears are big enough. That's my attitude. So setting him before us so that we can consider his hand in all the things we encounter, it's like a power tool, and here's where the turn it on part comes. Ready? When we have the Lord before our thoughts and before our mind, and we are prayerful, we can consider his hand in all these things that we engage with and understand that this prayer is like a power tool. What's the really important thing about a power tool? Here it is. Ready? It works great, but only if you plug it in. It doesn't work if you don't plug it in. Look at this fancy saw. And if you don't plug it in, it doesn't move. Look at this blower. I can get all the leaves off my driveway unless I don't plug it in, and then it's just this big plastic thing. Prayer should be something that we plug in and turn on a regular basis. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, then we're coming back with a special guest. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Okay, Mike, your turn.
All right, I just need a pair of sixes to win. Just two sixes. That's all I need. Oh. Snake eyes, really, again? How is that even possible?
Maybe next time, Mike.
Ever feel like that guy? Like the odds are so stacked against you that you can never get exactly what you want? Well, here's some good news for you. God is in control. It says in the Bible,
we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall.
That verse isn't talking about board games. It's a metaphor for the fact that God has a perfect plan for our lives. Yes, we have the freedom to make our own choices, but ultimately, God determines how things turn out. And if you're in a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, you can be sure that God is always working the results for your good, even if it doesn't feel like it right now. If you want to learn more about how God is in control of your life, check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
Mark Twain once wrote, "There is no use in walking 5 miles to go fishing when you can depend on being just as unsuccessful nearer home." There's a delicate lesson here. First, we need to be realistic about our chances for success in any given venture. On the other hand, sometimes God calls us to go beyond what seems possible and trust Him for what appears impossible. We have limited abilities, but God's ability is unlimited. Our task, in the words of the book of Proverbs, is to cry out for discernment. Sometimes we need restraint, and other times we need boldness. God can tell us which, if we'll just ask Him. And this is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's discernment on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Now, my next guest, he's no stranger to the show. He's no stranger to radio. He's no stranger to KPRZ. In fact, some people actually think he is Mr. KPRZ. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. If you need advice, if you need insight, if you need counseling, if you need wisdom, if you need somebody who can lay your cards out in front of you in an objective manner and give you the opportunity to examine where you're really at financially, there is no person that I have ever met that is as astute, as kind, and as like Jewish-minded as me. It is our very own Marty Schneider. 1-800-727-PLAN. 1-800-727-7526. His website, theretirementprofessor.com, and professorsocialsecurity.com. Marty, sir, how are you?
I am great, David. Thanks for those kind words. And I'll throw a kosher pickle into every consultation I have here. I just want you to know that.
All right, sign me up. I'll be there at 4:01. Because to me, kosher pickle means there's a sandwich right behind it. That's how I think of it. Okay. All right. Talk to me, Marty, about society, because as it seems right now, everything is super calm. Nothing ever happens. There's nothing weird. And right. Everything is normal. And it's the same old boring. Right?
Yeah, exactly right, David. You know, it's really funny. I had a situation today, a topic. I don't know if you and I have discussed this very often, but I had a gal in here, and it was one of those kind of sad tales. She lost her husband about 3 months ago, kind of suddenly. He was in his early 60s, and he got ill, and he just passed away. And one of the assets that they had was an old life insurance policy that apparently the husband had bought many years back and had never changed the beneficiary designations on this old policy. Now, they had been married, the gal that came to me, they'd been married about 8 years, and it was a fairly substantial policy. It was, you know, a couple of $100,000, $200,000, and it did not go to this spouse that I was dealing with because the husband never did change this old beneficiary designation from years ago. And it just raised that whole issue of just kind of making sure that, you know, you check those kinds of details to see if you've got, you know, an insurance plan through either yourself that you purchased or through maybe work, or if you've got IRAs and 401ks. And many people, David, have these maybe from a prior employer from, you know, 5 or 7 years ago. And maybe in the meantime, they've gotten married or had kids. And, you know, those beneficiaries need to be reviewed periodically just to make sure you've got that stuff going where you want it to go if something were to happen to you unexpectedly.
Wow, Marty, so is that where, if she's not named the beneficiary, but he's got her named as a beneficiary in something else, is that anything she can contest, or is there just nothing that can be done?
Nothing that can be done. The life insurance company, in fact, we spoke with them, and I kind of knew the answer because I have dealt with this a time or two along the way, is, you know, they are going to pass those proceeds, those insurance proceeds, according to beneficiary designation. And yeah, the proper thing would have been, David, for him to have named his living trust. He did have a trust, and had the trust been the beneficiary of that policy, then ultimately this surviving spouse would have, you know, ultimately had access to those funds. But in this case, that was not how it was set up. So, yeah, you can fight that, you know, until you're blue in the face, but the insurance company will default to whoever is named as the beneficiary on that account.
Wow, that really tells you people need to stay much more in tune or much more current with their material. Otherwise, they could be having funds. I mean, I'm not trying to say this in a mean way, but let's say they've had a previous marriage and then they get married again, and if they don't get along, well, it doesn't matter. If you don't change that, those funds would still go to the ex then, wouldn't it?
And that's, David, that is exactly what happened here. His ex-wife, this was a second marriage for the husband, and the ex-wife getting a check for $200,000 tax-free, by the way, tax-free dollars, death proceeds from an insurance policy are income tax-free. So the ex is going to receive that, and it just ruffles all sorts of feathers here, as you can imagine. So, yeah, it's still unfortunate because it was not his intention, but the insurance company doesn't know that, and, you know, you really can't fight it after the fact, unfortunately, because now, you know, you can contest, like you can contest a will in court if you think that the intentions of the decedent were not followed, but this is pretty clear-cut. That's who's on the policy, and that's who's going to get the check.
What other instruments might people have that they don't think about? So you brought that up like maybe an old work situation.
Mm-hmm.
What other instruments could there be? Like you might have, let's say you have a policy through work. Are there other things that maybe people have acquired through their life and maybe just haven't kept tabs on? I mean, even if it's an old 401k kind of mentality, right? It could just be sitting there with the wrong name, the wrong beneficiary on it.
Exactly right, because so many times, you know, it's such a mobile, you know, society, and people leave, you know, company A and go to work for company B, and, you know, maybe they had a 401k with, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in it, and they, you know, in the hurry and bustle of life, they never did anything. It's still there at the old employer, and this might be 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they named a beneficiary when they opened that account, and it's never been reviewed. And so, whoever is named as beneficiary, if there is a death on that, that's who's going to receive that, because those beneficiary designations trump everything, David. Whoever is named, you know, as the beneficiary, that's who will receive, you know, that particular distribution. So, yeah, it's just part of just kind of, you know, making sure that you are crossing the T's and dotting the I's and taking a look at those older accounts, because they do kind of tend to get lost sometimes in the shuffle, and particularly if somebody, say, moved here from, you know, Florida or Ohio, you know, 10 years ago, and they left, you know, kind of they left a world behind, and they left an employer or two or three employers behind. So it's just an important part of the reviewing process, just to make sure you get your arms around all of that and review it. David, a really good reason there, by the way, just to make sure if you do have those old type of 401k plans laying around from a former job, that you would just move that into your own individual retirement account. It's a simple rollover. There's no taxes, and if you do it properly in a custodial transfer, it's pretty simple. But then you can make sure that on the new account, on the new IRA that you roll it into, that you get the proper beneficiary designations listed there. So just, you know, one of the many moving parts of making sure you get it all right.
All right, so I got two questions, and they're big questions. The first question is, how do you know what's out there? In other words, if you're talking to somebody like me who's, you know, not ditzy, but, you know, I've got so much going on that seems like my brain leaks out of my ears, that, you know, what if there's something out there and I don't even like, what? This was, I was how old? When did this happen? How do you know, or how do you get your hands on that? Can that be something that a financial planner or a retirement specialist like yourself helps somebody locate?
Yeah, we can help locate those kind of lost assets as long as we know that they exist. I had somebody in my office, David, last week that said, you know, 15 years ago, he was from the Pennsylvania area, Pittsburgh area, and he said, you know, I do recall that I had a small retirement account, and he did know the name of the employer. Well, as long as I have some information, you know, we were able to find this account. It had $7,200 in it, and it's been sitting at this old, you know, company for all these years. So, you know, I mean, it didn't, you know, it didn't make him a billionaire, but, you know, we'll take $7,000 that was kind of lost. And so as long as I know where to look and where to begin the searching process, then we are delighted to help find that kind of missing accounts.
Can you find that using somebody's like Social Security or certain information, or do you have to just have an employer's name?
No, we can do a Social Security search as well. There's actually a website that that you can go to that is specifically designed for retirement accounts that appear to be you know, lost in the shuffle, and their Social Security numbers can access that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're always full of great information. Here's the big last question. Now, Marty, this is a big one. Because of the society we live in, if somebody after all this, let's say somebody's 75 years old, and they write an email to their son or daughter, and they date it, and they have somebody, you know, some kind of witness to it, and they say, whatever the assets are, whatever my previous instruments are, you know, I want all of my assets that are able to be collected to be given to this person. This is my intent. This is the date. I'm of sound mind. Can that be a contestable piece or an article for somebody to stand by?
It is contestable, and I'm kind of on dangerous turf here, because I don't want to practice law, because I'm not an attorney, but having an attorney on my show all the time that deals in the estate planning arena, I do know that, David, if it's not a will or a trust, if it's the so-called holographic will, it should be written in the handwriting, not on a word processor or a computer or a word program on your computer. It should be handwritten and then witnessed by two people, and that will stand up in court here. But if it's done on your word processor and signed, it's very susceptible to challenge.
Got it. That's fascinating, fascinating information. I love talking to you because those are the kind of bizarre questions, but people want to know that. People think they can do it. You remember the poor man's copyright? You just send yourself a letter, never open it. It has a post stamp on it from the U.S. Post Office. I mean, people have been doing stuff like that for years.
That's so true, and it's one of those areas. It's kind of like where we started. It's like you really sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, so you assume certain things are going to stand up, and then boy, I tell you, by the time you need them to stand up in a court, it's too late because you're gone.
Right.
So gotta check these dots off in advance.
Excellent, excellent work, Marty. All right, folks, 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526. You can also go to theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. Another fantastic job, Marty. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, David. I sure appreciate you too, brother. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then we'll come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the importance of teaching your children even when they go to public school.
You need to be so careful about what your children are being taught in school. And I know many do not have other alternatives than the public schools. But I would not want to be in a position when you stand before God and give an account, and we're all going to give an account for everything we've done. I don't think God is going to be satisfied with the excuse, why didn't you raise your children to walk in my ways? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, but you can delegate the authority to teach your kids, but you cannot delegate the responsibility. That's yours as a parent. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And that is our responsibility as parents, and we will ultimately be held accountable for that.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Mark Twain once wrote, "There is no use in walking 5 miles to go fishing when you can depend on being just as unsuccessful nearer home." There's a delicate lesson here. First, we need to be realistic about our chances for success in any given venture. On the other hand, sometimes God calls us to go beyond what seems possible and trust Him for what appears impossible. We have limited abilities, but God's ability is unlimited. Our task, in the words of the book of Proverbs, is to cry out for discernment. Sometimes we need restraint, and other times we need boldness. God can tell us which, if we'll just ask Him. And this is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's discernment on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Final reminder on this one, you can reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is a great way to do it. If you want to complain about the show, I've got a new email for Tugboat Todd. It's, hey, you want to say something really nasty, send it to Tugboat Todd. He'll be glad to get your email and then respond to you as soon as he can at gmail.com. But you'll have 4 seconds before the account expires. All righty, we got our Facebook people think, is that real? We have our Facebook post. The title, it can't even compare. What is our sound clip for this? What'd you say? I wouldn't be able to understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't understand a single word.
Apples and oranges.
Apples and oranges. Okay. Here we go. You know, people, you understand what apples and oranges are? People go, that's a fruit. Yes. But you're not supposed to compare apples to oranges. You want to know why? Do you want to know why?
Why?
They're not the same. Okay, thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I know you wanted to know that. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So in the passage, as the Apostle Paul is writing under the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, he says, for our light, and I'm not sure if you understand what this means, but light means not heavy. And momentary means not long. And here's a Greek word you need to know. Troubles means yuck stuff. So what we go through that we consider to be heavy and long, according to God, is not that heavy and it's not that long, even though there's yuck stuff attached to it, because it is achieving for us an eternal glory. Now, that's totally awesome stuff that never ends. And that totally awesome stuff that never ends far outweighs the light and momentary stuff. The cool, totally awesome stuff that's eternal is much bigger, much better, and much fatter. And this is one of the few places where fat is in a good way. The things that are being prepared for us, the grace that God is putting together for us, so to speak, is so fantastic that which we go through is comparison-wise light and momentary. What you're going through, it feels heavy, but by comparison, it's light. It feels like it's a long time process, but the Lord says it's actually momentary. That trouble that you're going through, that light and momentary trouble, that's achieving for you and I an eternal glory that far outweighs what we're going through. There is no way to compare the trials with the trophies that are coming. There is no way to compare the struggle with the glory that is en route. And it is difficult while you go through it, but seeing past it, you may go through a trial for 5, 10, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 years, but you will have eternity to forget about it. Get it? It's light. It's momentary. It won't crush you. It won't outlast you. And that which is coming in your direction is so much better, it can't even be compared. Got it? Okay, cool. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.